Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
We're the first quarter into the year. This is the last Sunday of March, and we have completed a quarter. And our theme this year is we are to be holy as God is holy. We're talking about holiness this year. And so I thought I would just ask after the first quarter, how you doing? These curveballs, they come at us. And I it's tough. And as I've been praying this week, God, what would you have me talk about? We started this year pursuing holiness. And I'm telling you, you start pursuing God, really pursuing God, you watch the counterattack and how big it becomes. And sometimes I just think, I don't know how we're making it. I don't know how, because we're coming to church on Sunday. We're coming to church on Wednesday. We're trying to get up and spend some time with the Lord on Monday. We're trying to pray through our week. And then we get on our phone and every internet thing you go to, not intentional, but there's junk. Right there. Come on, guys. You know exactly what every time there's an enticement somewhere. And you're like, ugh. You can't drive down the road without looking at a billboard and having to go, I need to look the other way. And then you look back up, one more look. Why did I do that? Come on, men. Ladies, you're like, okay, my thought life pretty pure. I'm thinking good things. And then someone says something that just hits you emotionally. And I could kill them. I wouldn't do that, but I mean, what? Did I just think that? I just wish they weren't even here. Did I think that? I think that we get, how in the world could I obtain holiness with the way my mind thinks? So I think that maybe I'm just kind of talking about something that nobody else deals with, but I got a question. The sermon topic today is, can I be holy? Can I really be holy? I mean, can you be holy today? Can I be holy? What's going to be our answer? I'm really was expecting just a complete silence across the audience. I talked about this because every one of us have asked that question when we've talked about the theme this year. I don't know if I can. I mean, really, if I'm talking about someone who has the title of, now there is a holy person. I mean, there's someone that's holy as God is holy. We probably can think of someone that we could probably put that name in and say, yeah, that person. But we have a hard time with saying, that's me. I can be holy as God is holy. I can do. And see, our humble attitude, and really there's a goodness in that. I don't really think I can. I mean, that's a humble way of thinking. Are y'all following what I'm saying? See, that's a humble way of thinking. Well, I don't know if I can obtain that. So we can give that title to someone else, but we can't take it upon ourselves. And as we pursue holiness this year, we've got to figure out how to say to ourselves, I can be holy as God has asked me to be. I can obtain that. And no one's going to start a conversation with someone else and say, yeah, I just want you to know I'm holy. I mean, really, just look at my life. I'm not talking about coming out and talking about who you are in your holiness to someone else. I'm talking about getting your thinker to think, I can be holy as God is holy. I can do that. And so today I want to talk about that. My point today is God's people can be not perfect, but live in a way that pleases God. That's what I want to talk about today. And if you'll stick with me through the end and not go, I can't believe he just said that, because there are going to be some things that I challenge you with today. But if you'll stick with me through the end, I think you'll get some of this. Today, our world is living in a time in the Christian world, in the Christian church, in our society, where grace is the big message. I mean, it really is. We talk about grace all the time. This message running across our country, as it should be. For those that don't know Jesus. And for those that know Jesus, we still need grace. So I'm not here to say that we shouldn't be preaching a grace message, But we've removed the thinking that God could actually delight in my good works. And that's quoting scripture. God delights in our good works. But what we're doing all the time is just, God, I need your grace because I just totally thought wrong. I looked at what I shouldn't have. I thought something about someone, and how did I think that? And if we think all the time that we just are so in need of God's grace, then when do we look at God as delighting in our good works? Are you seeing the difference? I thank God for his grace, and I don't want anyone coming up and saying I have perverted the scripture, because that's not my heart today. But we've got to know that God wants to delight in your good works, and there's some times that you need to know you're doing all right. You're doing good. You're doing good. The thought that we have in our Christian community is this: I'm just a worthless sinner. I cannot please God by keeping his law because it just can't be done. That's why Jesus had to come, because no one could do it. God saved me by his grace. He covers all my sins. Even though I sin every day, he covers it with the blood of Jesus, and then he sees me as perfect. Now, you may be sitting there today and going, absolutely. That's exactly the way I see the scripture. And I'm not here today to tell you that that's wrong. I'm here to tell you, thank God for his grace. And that because of Jesus, he does see me perfect. So I just want to make sure that you understand what I'm talking about today. I'm not putting that thinking down. We need to say amen and amen. That's exactly the way God sees us. But let's ask ourselves, what does the Bible say about this particular subject? Since we are all unworthy sinners, is holiness really possible? See, if we just think like that all the time, then how do we ever think about holiness? Is this just an unnecessary pursuit that the pastor said this is a great idea to preach about all year, but I'm not going to get it because I can't be that. I know how my thinker thinks. And so there's a huge problem. We're acting like in and of ourselves that holiness is unattainable. And you got to work really hard today with me to hear what the word says about this. Because I'm going to quote a lot of scripture, and hopefully some of this will come alive. Luke chapter 1, verse 6 tells us, Zechariah and Elizabeth were both righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. Elizabeth and Zechariah, there's a couple of good ones. They were walking blameless right before God. Well, why don't we ask them for salvation? Here's why. They weren't perfect. They weren't perfect. They weren't perfect. The answer is no, they weren't perfect. Jesus is the only one perfect. Yet the Bible just said that they both walked blameless in all the commands and all the regulations. Let's go to Job 1:8. Job was blameless, an upright man who feared God and turned away from evil. So I ask you today, was Job perfect? No. Yet he was able to live in a right mindset, turning away from evil, being blameless. But he wasn't Jesus, because we don't say, in the name of Job. So Job wasn't perfect. If he had been perfect, and anyone before or after Jesus, come on, we wouldn't need Jesus. So everybody gets that and understands that. He wasn't perfect. We read over and over and over again in scripture where Paul wrote men in the local church and he bragged on them for their obedience and their godly example to outsiders. What would God say, or what would Paul say if he were in prison and writing a letter to Christian Ministries Church? I believe he'd say, y'all are doing a great job. Appreciate what you're doing. Appreciate what you're doing. Don't give up. Don't quit. Come on, keep on keeping on. I think there would be an encouragement, because I read where Paul did that with people that were seeking and wanting to do it right. But these people weren't perfect. They weren't perfect. Matthew 7:24, Jesus teaches that the wise person hears God, hears his word, and does what it says. The wise person hears the word of God and does what it says. Matthew 28:18-19, go make disciples. Teach them to what? Obey. Teach them to obey everything that he has commanded, that he's asked. James 2, hearing the word is not all there is. There is an obeying of the word that has to happen. So we sit there and we read all that and we go, I just don't know if this is obtainable. Did Jesus ask us to do something that couldn't be done? I don't believe that he did. And I believe we've got to change our mindset. Oh, Pastor, I just don't know though. I'm just a worthless sinner. I'm what the Bible says, filthy rags. I am just nothing. And I get that. Without Jesus, we're nothing. But what about the good works that we're called to do and the obeying we're called to do and the commandments that said we, all the people in Scripture, he points out that says they were right, they were blameless, they were doing it. Galatians 5, God expects the Christians to be known by their love, their joy, their peace. He goes on and just continues to say what Christians should be known for. 1 Corinthians 6, what we shouldn't be known for, sexual immorality, idolatry, theft, greed. We're not supposed to be known for this stuff. The problem is there are some Christians on major networks that show up to be known for the wrong thing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. The Christians should no longer be known for being trapped in habitual lawlessness. Coming against the, we shouldn't be habitually coming against the word of God. I'm trying to set up some controversy. Is it working? Are you seeing there's, well, I'm just totally confused now. Good. That's when my intent right now. Which one is it? Can we do it? Can we not? God asked us to do something. Are we not able to do what he's asked? It's evident as children of God. It's evident as children of God who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, the Bible says. And it is evident to people when they see what you do, whether you belong to God or you belong to the devil. The Bible speaks about that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Acts 9. Christians can be rich in good works. Christians can be rich in good works. Romans 12, we are to be trained to live in a way that is holy and acceptable to God. All right, since the possibility, and let's just go with the possibility, since the possibility of holiness is seen throughout Scripture, and I just gave a few, the possibility is seen. Is it possible for you to be holy and for me to be holy? Hopefully everybody go, this means yes. Some of y'all going, you've totally confused me and I don't know. Yes, it is possible to be holy. Because the Bible wouldn't ask us to do something that wasn't possible. So it's possible. Why do we find it so hard to obtain? Why is it hard for us to get a hold of, we can do this? Expecting perfection is obviously not what holiness is about. Let me say that one more time, because that was a time where I was expecting something. You got to get this. Expecting perfection is obviously not what holiness is about. Why? Okay. I'm going to wade into some stuff today. Are y'all with me? All right. First off, you know my heart. And when you hear me say perfection is not what holiness is about, but God's perfect. He says, be holy as I'm holy. And we look at perfection as holiness. And without Jesus, you're right. Perfection won't come. But what about those of us that are saved? Are we perfect? Are we there? Only Jesus is perfect, yet the Bible refers to people all through Scripture that are pleasing to him and are known for their good works and they're blameless and on and on and on. It's hard for us to say, yes, I can be holy, because our self-talk and what we're thinking is, I really need to be nicer. I really need to pray more. I really need to be in my word more. I really shouldn't have talked to my wife the way I just did. I shouldn't be so lazy while she's so busy. I'm just talking, maybe nobody else has thought that. As we study the Bible, God does not expect our good works to be flawless in order for them to be counted as good works. Really? Yes. When we started talking about this theme this year, I really wrestled with this in my mind, because how are we going to convince and encourage people that they can be holy when we realize that God is holy and he asks us to do something, but I just don't know if I can. In the same sentence, the Bible says there's none righteous, not one. But then he says, be holy. If God only accepted perfection and perfect obedience from his children, and in your life you just never would mess up and that was his expectation, he would have nothing in the word to say about his children. He wouldn't. Now, I'm not here to give free passes because I want you to hear what I'm saying today. How could the Bible say good about people who were certainly imperfect? I mean, look at King David, man after God's own heart. What did he do? Our good works are accepted by God, not because of perfection, but because God is pleased to accept us working toward an obedient life. Working toward an obedient life. Although at some points our weaknesses come out, it's dangerous to think that holiness is not attainable. You've got to see this as attainable. And I can't go any further till you get in your mind, I can attain holiness. And I realize that because I'm working towards that, there will be some imperfections and some things that show up. Colossians 1:10, those who increase in the knowledge of God are fully pleasing to God. Wow! Are you increasing in your knowledge or are you just saying, I'm done? You're not going to get holiness if you're not saying, I'm going to increase in my... Who is pleasing to God? Those who bear fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of him. Look at your life. Is there fruit being produced? For you to think holiness is not attainable, it will cause you to cease your pursuit of holiness. If you think, I couldn't be holy, then chances are real good you won't be. We got to change our thinking and say, yes, I can be holy. See, when you're convinced you can't be, it's just a spiritual sermon that pastor preached on holiness. Don't apply to my life. I have nothing to do with it. I'm not even going to tell anyone what I'm dealing with in my thinking processes and the things that I've done this week and what's come into my mind. See, hundreds of times we read, be pure, be holy, obedient, be full of love. Clearly, that's not attainable. But a pursuit of that is. Amen. That's the difference. Now let's just talk about it for another 15 minutes. All right. No one's perfect but Jesus. Please. I don't want to be set down after service. No one is perfect but Jesus. And I get that. And we all understand that. And we're called to be holy. And we are only going to be holy through Jesus. I get that. But that doesn't alleviate all the commands and the things that God has said. Here's what I expect of my people. And so we work towards that. God is moved by our obedience. And he is moved towards our pushing towards obedience. Guess what? You're in church today. God's pleased with that. Now, if you got drug here because your parents made you come, then get your mind changed and say, you know what? I want to be here. I want to hear what God has for me today. I want to hear this. God uses earthly examples to illustrate spiritual truths all the time in his word. And I want to do that today just so I can, as I've been thinking about something, God is our Heavenly Father. God is our Heavenly Father. And so we are his kids. Would you agree with that? Well, there are some of us that have kids, and for those of you that don't, you're probably not going to get this. But for those of you that do, just pay attention for a second. The rest of you might kind of hear this because one day you might have kids. And here's what I was just thinking. I opened the bottom drawer of my office desk, and in there is a card that I have held for a long time from my girls. And it's not one that they bought, it's one that they made. And it had a coupon that I could redeem for a free 30-minute back rub. They both say I've already redeemed it, but it's in my desk. And it was written by both of them. And I open that, and at times I just open that, and I look at it, and I think, that is so, so precious to me. Now, it wasn't done by Hallmark. It wasn't printed, it was handwritten, and it's not probably near as important to anybody in here, but it was important to me because they're my kids. There for a while, when they were younger, they would take notes in our sermon, in the sermons or in the places that we were. Now, even before the church started, we would have them taking notes. Your kids taking notes right now. Some of them are taking notes. Do you know that some of your kids have given me notes that they have taken, not because they had to have them for school, but even before that, and they were pictures. One of them was, I've got a couple of them, from when some of you were younger, and one day I'll show you these. But there is a picture of Pastor while he's preaching. And some of them show me as like the Michelin man. But I really like the ones that show me as a stick figure. Those are the nice ones. But I hang on to some of these. And I look at them and I think, that is precious. That is awesome. That I am so grateful for that. I just, wow, that they wanted to hear something that I said. Wow, wow. Now, they don't compare to my notes. They're not, oftentimes they're not even close. They may have pictures, and I've looked at some of the high schoolers' notes that should be closer to mine. Not even close. And I mean, page after page of what I've written down that I get to sometimes about three pages of. But I got a lot to talk about. And they don't get any of it. I'm like, why don't you get some more written? I don't ever think that. Well, some of the older ones. The younger ones, I look at it and I go, man, I'm so grateful they were paying attention. But they didn't arrive where I believe that God looks at his children sometimes and thinks, I'm just so glad you went to church today. I'm so glad you said something. I'm so glad you're pursuing obedience. You're pursuing me. And yeah, you could have probably done that a little better. You could have avoided that thought. You know, the Holy Spirit reveals some of that truth to you. But I think sometimes that truth we reveal to ourselves, and it's not the Holy Spirit, and it's the devil just yapping all the time, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. And what I want you to hear today is God is oftentimes pleased. Even though you're not perfect, he's pleased with your pursuit. Are y'all hearing that today? See, I looked at some of the notes, some of the kids, some of what was, and I like that. And let me just wade a little deeper since I'm already into some controversy this morning. Years ago, I heard a sermon by a pastor, and I got so out of sorts on it. I was so mad. The Seven Sins That God Hates was the title of it. Whew. You talk about, I listened to the whole thing. I made notes on what he said and how wrong it was for him to teach that, even though he's teaching it right out of Scripture. I was, what I got from it was, is he was saying that there are certain sins that separate us further from God. And I was going, I just don't know that I can handle that. I don't know that I can handle that. And I didn't get the whole picture. But I think that we're kind of in a ditch in some areas. And here's what I think. You'll hear people say, I'm no worse than the most horrible of murderers that are down at that jail. My sins are looked at exactly the same. Now, that's a real humble mindset. I get that. And there's not a worse sin because all sin separates us. But really, what's the big picture of this? Every sin is breaking of God's law. Please, I know that, James 2:10. Whoever fails to keep the law in one point is guilty of it all. Okay, I get that. And so I don't want to be sat down after service. I'm just telling you, I get that. But all are born sinners, and every sin is a wage that deserves death. And even though that's true, I think that that paints a very just small picture of the big picture. And here's why. All of the sins are offensive to God and require God's forgiveness. But let's just read the Bible over and over. The Bible teaches about some sins that are worse than others. Who didn't you just, did he just say, quietness over the crowd? Really, did you just say that? I did. Now, as the Bible teaches that either explicitly or it implies it, that some sins are worse than, God waited 400 years before giving the Israelites the promised land because the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet complete. Genesis 15, 16. They were sinners all along, but eventually their sins got so heinous and bad that enough is enough. I mean, you just start reading scripture and you're like, well, the Mosaic law itself required different penalties for different sins and required different sacrifices and payments to make restitution for different sins. Well, you say, but Jesus came. I get that. Just keep following me here. Numbers 15 recognizes the difference between unintentional sins and those that are done with a haughty, bad spirit. That are done on purpose. Judging from the Lord's outrage, sacrificing children in the word. You can read Moloch and the child sacrifices. Those are probably a little worse than a parent getting frustrated with their kid. But they're both sin. There's differences. Jesus gives an example that some people will be judged more severely on the day of judgment because they had more reason to believe. Matthew 10, 15. We will be judged according to the light, be judged according to our heart. Every sin is seen as the same with God. I get that. We're much less likely to fight sin in our life when we look at it that way. Why not just sleep with her? I already thought about it. If sin's all the same, why not? See, why not just murder them? I thought about it. I'd just assume see them dead anyway. So might as well go, well, because I don't want to spend the rest of my life in jail. So we're just going to get caught up on the consequence. Why pursue holiness? Because, see, I'm no different in God's eyes because of this sin, and his grace covers this one. He'll cover this one. He'll cover next week's. I don't need to pursue holiness. His grace is sufficient. Are you seeing this? And so we go on and on. The problem is we've created a false sense of moral equivalence in the church. A false sense. We've created something that the Bible didn't really teach in whole. It taught in part. Now, I looked across the crowd this morning, and we've got our home folk here today. I'm looking across, and I'm seeing that. But this podcast is going out to literally thousands of people. So I'm not just talking here. I'm talking about pursue this and figure this out. Our legal system does not treat all breaking of the law the same. Right? It doesn't. See, we've created something that the Bible really, when we start seeing the effects of sin and what they produce, we start seeing a putting to death of sin in our own life. That didn't work the way I said that. I need to put that to death. That was sin. I had a wrong thought. I burst it out in anger. But God's grace is sufficient. He'll cover me. And we start thinking that, and we don't pursue holiness. When I'm done today, I want you to see that the pursuit and the obtaining of holiness is not only possible, but it pleases God. Jesus' blood covers sin from a judicial sense. From a judicial sense. Well, what does that mean? It means that he paid the penalty for me. And I am a child of God. Come on, I'm a child of God. You say that today, and you say, Jesus' blood covers my sin, and I don't have to pay the penalty for that. And then the Bible goes on to say that he disciplines those he loves. Would you agree with that? Okay, yeah. If God disciplines those he loves, but he never takes note of our sin, then how does he discipline us when he doesn't know our sin? He took care of it from a judicial standpoint, but you still need a whooping. You still need corrected. You still need to understand that there's more to. Since they're covered under the blood, there would never be a need for discipline if they're covered under the blood, right? But yet he says he disciplines us. Who am I getting deeper and deeper? Are y'all still with me? There would never be discipline needed if God didn't know what we did. Now, it's not held against us. It's not to be remembered against us. And we get that. Hebrews 12, verse 10. As you endure divine discipline, remember God is treating you as his own children. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening, but afterward there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living. All sin is not the same because the disciplines are different to make the correction. If all sins were equal, then discipline would not be needed, just the blood. I know that people may be frustrated by what I'm saying here today, but I think if you can really think about it, you'll get what I'm saying. And I think it's really important. There would be no discipline from our Heavenly Father if the blood made it never seen. The reason why I believe it's seen is because he wants you to move into a different place and pursue him at a different level. Our sins under the blood is covered by the blood. This is a hard truth because it's an infinite truth for a finite mind. It's hard. I get that. And I wanted to dive into it today, and I prayed that the Lord would reveal some of this to you. Because people still sin. We still sin. And your relationship is not in jeopardy. Jesus' blood sealed the deal. Yes, you have royally messed up, but Jesus' blood sealed the deal. My kids can never not be my kids. Jesus' blood sealed the deal. When you're in sin and you come under his discipline, you don't lose your sonship. When my daughters messed up, I was still their daddy. And there were times that I was a little frustrated. And sometimes all I did was this. And sometimes I cried because it hurt me. And sometimes I did what some of y'all do because they needed it to reverse the action. And I knew what they did and I forgave them for what they did and I was still their daddy. God wouldn't have been referred to as a father if he hadn't have made an example for that in the lives that we deal with every day. And what I want you to know is you can be holy as God is holy. And as I watched the correction that we gave and the turn for our daughters and they would turn and start doing it right, I realized there are often times that God has done that in my own life. And then I turned and I started following and I started paying attention. And all of a sudden I was pursuing him, whereas before I was just trying to get away with something. See, there are times I'm sure that the Lord kind of does this to me. I'm sure there are times that the Lord goes, man, why? But that doesn't take away from the times when I'm, oh God, and he's, yeah, I'm here. See, and I think that we, if we're not careful, I'm so unworthy without Jesus that we lose the relationship because we don't see that he could ever be pleased with us. There's a lifestyle that's required of you, and he wants you to live that life. See, you're here. How many of y'all say, I desire to please God? Now, I won't ask you this to raise your hand, but how many of y'all messed up royally this week? See, we all find ourselves in positions that, well, I could never please God. I just don't know what I can do. Let me just tell you that there are times my wife and I disagree. Anybody married that would, no, you don't have to raise your hand. There are times we disagree. My wife's going, what is he getting ready to say? There are times we disagree and we have to sit down and have a little talk. And sometimes it's because of something that she's doing that I'm frustrated with, but probably the majority of the time it's something I'm doing that she's frustrated with. And I come up, and there are times that I have the wrong response to what she wants to talk to me about. Anyone married is going to get this. But there are also times when she comes up and I have the right response. You're doing this. And I receive what she has to say, and I say, not all the time, but she'll agree that some of the time, I'm going to work on that. And I'm really sorry. And I didn't mean to hurt you there. I didn't even know I was doing it. Come on, some of you have had that talk with your spouse And they'll say the same thing. I didn't even know I was doing it. And then your thought is, yeah, right, you knew. But there are truly sometimes I didn't realize it. And the reason why I'm willing to say that and the reason why I'm willing to turn on that is because I actually have a desire to be pleasing to my wife. And she has a desire to be pleasing to me. And so sometimes those little talks, and I'm thinking, come on, we're 25 years married and we still have those? Yep. Yep. I'm hoping at 30 it'll quit, but it may not. Some of you have been married over 30, you know. It'll still happen. Why? Because we're continuing to grow in our relationship and we're continuing to work through some things. And we're I believe there are times you're reading the word and God says, here's what you've been doing that's kind of frustrating me, and then I've given you this look on, and you probably need to change that, and you're always saying, God, I am sorry. Thank you for revealing. Come on, are you getting this? Thank you for revealing that to me. I need to change my thinking a little bit there. I need to move a little more in your direction. And do you think God is pleased with that? Absolutely he is. Why? Because there's a pursuit of him. That's why the Bible compares the relationship of the husband and wife to the relationship of him and the church. We are married. Come on, we're married. We're married to that. The church is looked at as a bride. We're married to. And if we start getting a hold of the idea that we are married to him, then there are times we got to sit down and have a little talk. That's why I tell people all the time, there are people who get mad at God and God can handle it. Really? Yeah, he can. You're always going to be wrong. But he can handle it. He's God. And he'd rather you talk to him about your frustrations that you may be having within life, and then you get in the Word and you start reading about it, and he reveals to you his heart for you, his love for you, and you start getting a change of attitude. See, times I say to God, I'll never do that again. Why? Because I want to please God. There are times I say to my wife, I'll never do that again, and there are times she goes, yeah, right. I'm sure there are times that God says, yeah, right, because your attitude and your heart isn't exactly where it needs to be. But there's a pursuit of holiness that God is pleased with. Are you hearing me? There's a pursuit that you can't earn God's love. By his grace, you are saved. I get that. But after you are saved, you've got to make every effort to live acceptable and pleasing to him. And that makes the scripture come alive. Romans 12, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing to him. 1 Timothy 4:15, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Here's a good indicator. When you're out in life through the week, who's seeing your progress? Is your boss? Is your coworkers? Ask them, are you seeing a progress in me? Because I'm working towards attaining a better attitude. I'm working towards watching my mouth. I'm working towards something here. I'm working towards. And if you start working towards something that's a godly attitude, God's going, come on, good job, good job. I'm proud of you. I love you so much. God loves you so much. And you've got to quit looking at yourself as I can't obtain holiness. I'm pursuing getting to know him more and more and more. And yeah, I messed up. I didn't read my Bible yesterday and the day before. So I'm just done. I'm not reading it. You got to die to that attitude and you got to pursue God. And you're not going to have a right. You are justified and you're as right with Jesus as you're with God through Jesus as you'll ever be because of his grace. But come on, once we get that, let's living a life of trying to get to a place where we're acceptable, we're pleasing, we're watching what we're doing, we're watching what we're saying. Couples that are married that never work towards anything get a divorce. Don't put yourself in a divorce circumstance with God. Don't get to the point where you say, I never knew him. That was all a lie. I don't want anything. You say, well, I would never do that. Look at your fruit. Have you already done it? Whew. But I'm saved. I didn't talk about that. What I'm talking about, have you denied him in every area of your life? Well, I once did. No, if you're going to live saying, I pursue God, then pursue him. Our life needs to be an example of godliness without having completely have arrived. That's the whole message. Progress is not only what God expects and requires of me, but it's what he allows of me. Progress, he don't only expect it and want it, but he allows the progress. What he means by that, or what I mean by that as I'm saying it, he allows the mess ups as you're progressing that direction. Now, you get to the point where you don't allow them anymore and say, I'll never do that again. Just like you do in a marriage. I'm not doing that again. Can I be holy? Did that question get answered this morning? Yes, you can. Yes, you can be holy. Yes, you can be. Come on, church. Yes, you can be holy. You can be holy. Are you okay with that? Yes, I can be holy. We got to tell our mind that, or this whole year is not going to mean anything. We finished the first quarter, and you go, you know, I'm just not much different than December. You're going to have to tell yourself you can be holy. And coming to church every Sunday is not going to make you holy. I'm not here to having the right attitude of pursuing God. So next Sunday, what are you doing? Well, I'll be in church again. Not because you have to, and not because that's what's going to, it's your attitude of pursuing God. Are you pursuing, or are you looking at every way to ignore him? Is there a pursuit going on? You can be holy, and that's what we're growing in. Here's how I know that if Paul was writing a letter to Christian ministries, that he would say, y'all are doing a good job. Here's why. And I'm not going to sit here and point out names, but I can go all across this audience, and I can tell you, I talk to people all the time that knows you, knows someone from here all the time, and what they say is, there's a good person. That's a great man. That man, what she spoke in, it changed my life. And then I can hear you talking, and I can hear you say, because of the church I'm involved with, my life is different. Because of the church that I'm involved with, well, what's the church have to do with? The church is what God established. The church is established for us to grow in, to get discipled, to get trained to go out there and to be his. See, we're at a different place than we were a year ago. Praise God, I'm in a different place than I was 5 years ago. Come on. Praise God, I'm in a different place than I was. I'd be divorced today if it weren't for Christian ministries. So I'm just telling you, that's where I'd be. I don't know what your story is. I'm in a different place because I learned how to handle some money. I'm in a different place because I learned how to parent some kids. I'm in a different place in life because of the teachings that were taught to me through the church. I couldn't be more thrilled with what God used the church to do, and that was the marriage union. And see, I'm in a different place. Well, that's where I say, you know what? You can be holy. There's not a doubt in my mind. Because why? You're pursuing the things of God and your life's different. If you would agree with that, stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.